Hey, fellow high functioners. Welcome to today's installment of the Disaster Diaries. So I'm coming to you from the floor of our home office. And the reason is I need to feel grounded and centered. And I know I've mentioned previously that this is my favorite room in the house. It is the most peaceful and tranquil. It was also my bedroom when I was a child. And I love to sit on the floor in here. But I'm feeling incredibly vulnerable. You know, I haven't been feeling well the last couple of days. I feel like I'm fighting off a cold or something, and this is particularly the most reflective time of the year for me. As I mentioned, I do reflect a lot on the last year because of my birthday, and then I also reflect on the goals and the things that I want to achieve for the coming year. I assess where I am and where I want to be. But I don't know if it's because I just don't feel well in general, or a combination of being so reflective and introspective. But I am having a lot of feels today. And I believe I've said previously that I'm an incredibly huge fangirl of Brené Brown, regardless of also being a fan of Emma Lyons, who was recently on the High Functioning Disaster. And I am a fan of Emma's stance on eliminating shame, which, as she mentioned, is in direct opposition to Brené Brown. No problem. I absolutely love both of them. But in my Calyx unit, I have all of Brené's books, all of the personal type ones, Atlas of the Heart, The Gifts of Imperfection, Daring Greatly, Braving the Wilderness, You Are Your Best Thing, which is an anthology for people of color. And I love that one particularly. Actually, I love them all because they're all helpful to me in some way. And so those are all in a stack. And then I also have the two business related ones, which are Dare to Lead. And then the newest one is Strong Ground. But those are standing next to the stack because they can't all fit in one stack with my letterboard warmer. And my letterboard warmer has a quote on it that says, "Vulnerability is not weakness. It's our greatest measure of courage." And this audio journal is going to be nothing less than vulnerable. I've been feeling Braving the Wilderness, Calling My Name, because I've been feeling incredibly alone. And that is mainly because I am in a situation where I feel like I have to care for my mom because she isn't caring for herself. And I don't spend like all my waking hours taking care of her, and I don't dote on her and bring her everything and wait on her hand and foot. I do my best to bring her something if she absolutely needs it. Like, I will meet her where she is, so to speak, like if she puts forth an actual effort. So for example, today I saw an opportunity to get her to get a shower. And so since she was already in the bathroom, I just suggested, why don't you go ahead and get a shower since you're already in here? As you know, it's a struggle to get her to shower. And so, you know, it's not an extra tip. She's already there. Her excuse was, well, initially she tried to say she already washed, but she didn't. I knew she hadn't. So she tried to say that she used baby wipes. And I said, well, that's not washing. You need to get in the shower. And she said, but I don't have any clothes. Well, I am not going to let that be an excuse. So I said, I will bring you clothes if you'll get in the shower. And that worked. But it's heavy. It's mentally draining. Also mentally draining is trying to figure out how on earth I could manage a job and bring her to her appointments and whatnot. And I know that in the last week I've mentioned that, you know, my mom's sister, my aunt, is not speaking to me. And it's because she believes that I blame her for me not having a job. I never said that. As I mentioned, I sent her a text message and it was a lengthy one. To be fair, I did try to call, but she didn't answer. And since I needed to communicate, I sent her a text message. Perhaps I should have sent a voice message, but I didn't. And I can't change what I did, the medium that I chose. But instead of having a conversation, she assumes that I would blame her, or that I am blaming her for not having a job, for me not having a job. I don't feel that way. I have never felt that way. I do feel like she could help more, that she could be there for my mom more. And like I told my brother the other day, you know, I feel like I'm in a tough situation because the only person outside of this house who I feel like I should be able to rely on is her, except that I can't because she doesn't, I don't know if she just doesn't want to, or if she feels like she can't, or if it's emotionally too heavy. I don't know. She's not talking. And that seems to be a thing with their family. And by their family, I mean her and my mom. They don't talk about things like that. And I don't get it. And I don't speak in code. I don't mince words. There are no lines to read between when I speak to someone. I say what I say, and that is what I'm trying to convey to you, and not have you read between any lines. And if you're trying to find some lines to read between, you're going to fail, or if you think you find some lines to read between, you're going to get the wrong message. So essentially, that's a fail to me too. And so I feel alone in that regard. But the reason this is bothering me so much now is that I never have spoken really about my dad's sister. My dad passed away in May of 2008, so he's been gone 17 and a half years. The day of his funeral, she invited all of their family, so their blood relatives who were in town for the funeral, and my stepmother over for a cookout. She did not invite me or my brother or his and his wife's kids. That was particularly hurtful. And if y'all remember, 2008, 2009, even 2010, it was particularly difficult to find work. It was, as we know now, the Great Recession. And so many people were without work, and the job market was flooded with applicants. And I was one of them. I did my best with what I had. But my dad's sister said that my nephew, who was a newly minted adult, was hanging out with me too much because he didn't want to work, just like I didn't. You know, there has never been a time in my life when I didn't want to work. Even right now, I want to work. I just don't know how to make it work for the other responsibilities that I feel are on my plate, i.e., taking care of my mom, specifically bringing her to the plethora of appointments that she has any given month. I have struggled since I lost my job in February to figure out how to make this work. And as time has gone on, it's become even more difficult because she has even more appointments. I remember speaking with my best friend in May about job prospects. She asked me if I had found anything, like anything to apply for. And I said, there are a lot of things that I could apply for, but I feel like I'm in a catch 22 where I don't know who's going to hire me given the situation that I'm in. And then if they do, why would they keep me when I'm not even going to be able to be at work most weeks for the full week? There's going to be at least one day where I'm going to have to be gone for 2 or 3 hours. I can't imagine any employer that I've had previously welcoming in a new hire with that much need to be away from work from the get-go. And I know that my last employer is a major tech company, and they're very, what's the word I need? They're very kind. They're very open to working with their employees when there are needs like that. But being a new hire, I can't imagine that they would want to work with that. And so, yeah, I feel like I'm in this catch 22. So back to, why on earth am I bringing up my dad's sister? So when she made this statement that my nephew had been hanging around with me too much because he didn't want to work, and I am not one, because my dad said when I was little, he always taught me, never let anyone walk on you. Never let anyone walk on you. If you do, they'll continue. So don't let them do it even once. So I called her up and I called her out on what she said. And what she said to me is, I don't give a flying fuck whether you live or die. I was never included in anything that she did ever again. When we had family gatherings at my brother's house and she was invited, she literally talked around me. So she spoke to everyone around me, physically around me. But she wouldn't talk to me. She wouldn't say hi. She wouldn't say, fuck you. Nothing. That too was hurtful. I have managed to find forgiveness for her, like to forgive her and realizing that I'm clear that forgiveness was for me, but I'm forgiving her to set myself free. But now my aunt, my mom's sister, has twice in about 3 weeks made plans with my mom, which is fine, to go out for a meal. But she isn't inviting me and my husband, which again is fine, except that she's calling up my brother and his wife and inviting them. And so I'm feeling alienated. And the realization that I've come to is that she's treating me the way my dad's sister treated me. And while I would expect that from my dad's sister, because that's just the way that she was, I just happened to be one of the recipients, and there were many recipients to her hateful behavior. And it's so hurtful. And so I got out my book. I took it off my shelf, Braving the Wilderness. But I know that I also have the audiobook. And so I identify a lot with this book and Brené's own story and feeling like she didn't belong in her family when she was a kid. Because I remember feeling the same way. I remember being in elementary school and feeling like I didn't belong in my family. Feeling so different from my parents and from my brother. And feeling so alone. So in Braving the Wilderness, in chapter one, Brené is telling a story about how she tried out for the Bear Cadets, which is the drill team for her high school. She was new to the school. Her family had just moved back to Houston at the end of her eighth grade year, and she didn't have any friends at that point. And she didn't know anyone really, and she didn't really know what was required for the tryout aside from, you know, knowing that the dance routine and there was a weight requirement. And so she walks through that whole scenario and experience and how she ended up not getting picked, but she felt like because her dad had been the captain of the football team and her mom had been a leader in her drill team in high school, like she didn't belong to her family when she didn't make the drill team. So then she's talking about sharing that story and how it was really painful reflecting on it, not because she didn't make the drill team, but because she couldn't comfort herself back then. She didn't know how, and her parents weren't equipped to deal with her pain and vulnerability. So she says on page 14, and I have the hardcover book. I don't know if that's the same in the softcover, but it says, even in the context of suffering, poverty, violence, human rights violations, not belonging in our families is still one of the most dangerous hurts. That's because it has the power to break our heart, our spirit, and our sense of self-worth. It broke all three for me. And when these things break, there are only three outcomes, something I've borne witness to in my life and in my work. One, you live in constant pain and seek relief by numbing it and/or inflicting it on others. Two, you deny your pain, and your denial ensures that you pass it on to those around you and down to your children. Or three, you find the courage to own the pain and develop a level of empathy and compassion for yourself and others that allow you to spot hurt in the world in a unique way. I certainly tried the first two. Only through sheer grace did I make my way to the third. Number three is a bullseye for me. I absolutely recognize pain and brokenness in people. And it attracts me to them, not because I want to fix them, but because I know what that feels like. I know how it feels to be outcast. And I have long been one who would sit with someone that no one else would sit with. When someone was new at school, didn't know anyone yet, didn't have any friends, and so I would see them sitting by themselves at lunch. I didn't want them to sit by themselves, so I would ask if I could sit at the table with them. And I never experienced one time anyone saying no. And that's just who I am and how I am. And I understand that feeling like I don't belong in my family or to my family is incredibly hurtful. And because of that, I've been able to develop that sense of empathy and compassion for other people, and I'm grateful for that. I just hate mean girl bullshit. And that's not what family is about. That's not what family is to me. My husband gets beside himself because his brother is 9.5 years older than he is. His sister is 4 years older than he is, and she lives in Australia. But he still has a relationship with both of them. And being respectful and kind to each other was required in their house. And he just doesn't understand because his family isn't that way. He doesn't believe for 1 minute that you have to like everyone. He knows that that is not a reality nor an expectation. But when you're family, you shouldn't, you know, exclude people. And so I'm feeling even more alienated than I had been. And it's not cool. It's not cool and it's not fair. But I will just have to do what I always do. And that is figure out how to solve my problem, which is make it through this season and find another job. And y'all, it is tough, tough, tough. And I know that it's not quite as bad as it was in 2008, 2009. But it is difficult finding a job. The job market is saturated. Tons of people are looking for work. I will do my best. So what have I done today? Aside from the miracle morning, I had 3 pre-interviews for the high functioning disaster. And I just felt like crap. I was freezing pretty well all day again. And so I stayed covered up and rested. And to be honest, my animals did not get their dinner until like 11 p.m. because it could have even been 11:30 because I fell asleep and they just let me be because, well, I think they can probably tell that I'm just not feeling great. And so they ate their dinner and then they went to bed. And here I am working on my my daily entry. But I would love to hear from you. I'm going to put a SpeakPipe link in my episodes moving forward. I'm going to try to put it in this one, but if it's not in this one, it should be in the ones moving forward. So, if you want to reach out and leave a message, you certainly can. You don't have to send an email. In case you're wondering, no, I did not get any yoga or Pilates in today or yesterday for that matter. And I did meet my protein goal and I did not. Well, I'm pretty close to my protein goal, close enough that I'm not going to bother with a shake. I'm close enough to the 80 grams that I'm not going to get a shake because then that would put me well over 100 and I can't be bothered to figure out when I've hit a half. Not that it's that difficult, but I just can't be bothered. So there's that. So that's all for today. I'll see you tomorrow for the next installment of the Disaster Diaries.